The proverb we're going to look at tonight is in this 18th chapter and verse 10. Verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and it is safe. Safety in this world is a very difficult and sometimes remote thing. The death threat or a murder attempt upon the British Prime Minister Theresa May was greatly a great threat and fearful, and one that might have just destroyed the stability of the British government at this very difficult time. And we pray that God will keep our leaders safe from such threats. In the face of these things, the security business is booming. There are all kinds of security businesses that are springing up, and they offer certain levels of protection to people who need this, whether it's business, private, or government levels. Now, the rights of self-defense are also growing in interest, and some cannot find safety. It wouldn't matter how many bodyguards they had, wouldn't matter how many security systems they had. They can hardly sleep safely in the same bed. Some have to go to transition houses and keep moving. If they sleep in the same place, their life is in danger. We live in a world where there really is no safeguard from death. And when you think about it, more people die from natural causes than they do from deliberate attacks. And it was David, when he was hunted by King Saul, who said, "There is but a step between me and death." That means that every one of us is looking for that ultimate place of safety. Here in this text, we are told about the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord. That leads me tonight to speak to you about the attributes of our Lord Jesus. Now, when it speaks about the name, it means his character, it means his perfection. And our shorter catechism answers it very well. When the question is asked, what is God? The question is given this way: God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. And then there are six attributes that are listed: wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Now, it's a little bit dangerous when a preacher takes six things for headings, but that's what we're going to try tonight, to look at these different characteristics or attributes of the Lord Jesus and see how they work to our safety. The Bible uses this language quite a lot, about the Lord being a strong tower. And of course, in various psalms, it refers to the Lord is our refuge and our strength, and various terms and ideas are used to convey how the Lord protects his people. Now, I hope that you will run into this tower. This tower, which is the name of the Lord. And this is the metaphor, this is the picture that this proverb sets before us tonight. We're looking at our Savior, and we are thinking of him as a tower for refuge. And so in the issues of life, the fears of life, the struggles of life, the fears and the cares that come upon us, we can run to the Lord. I want you to notice that in the verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. the righteous runneth into it. Now that speaks of quick action, no hesitation. When the storm comes, when the enemy appears, you make immediate course for the one place of safety, which is the Lord. Now let's go through these six attributes: wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. The first of them then is wisdom. And the picture in this proverb is that the righteous fleeth from making his own safety or devising his own protection. He resorts completely in the Lord as our strong tower. And this is the attitude of the believer in the Lord Jesus. We do not trust in our own wisdom, but we trust in the wisdom that is in the Lord. Now, right down history, this has been the mindset of God's people. They did not trust in their own way of thinking, but trusted in the Lord. The first we can think of is Abel. When God called men to worship, Abel ran and obeyed the wisdom of God. And of course, he was accepted. Abraham also learned to follow the wisdom of the Lord. Leaving Ur of the Chaldees made no rational sense. It was his home. It was everything he knew. It was the people that were all around him that cared for him. But when that Lord of glory appeared to Abraham and called him out, he obeyed the wisdom of God and not his own thinking. The same is true of Moses. When he was called to follow and obey the Lord and stand before Pharaoh with that rod in his hand, he listened to the wisdom of God. And then Isaiah, who trusted in the blood, who said, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And so we have all of these examples of men and women who followed the path of God's wisdom. And of course, the Lord Jesus himself, he followed the path that led to the cross. And the book of 1 Corinthians 18 tells us that the cross is the wisdom of God and it is the power of God. The Lord Jesus did not seek to spare himself, but rather he was on that mission which the Father gave him. And the mission was an altogether wise one. And he said often that he must suffer. That was God's plan. That was God's purpose. And to him, that was wise. Now, one of the pathetic and the sad things of what sin has done to us is that it has made us fools. The book of Proverbs has a lot to talk about fools, those that follow their own ways, those that do not even follow common sense. And sin does that. Sin never makes sense, whether it's breaking one commandment or another. Unfaithfulness, infidelity, vices, they are all fraught with folly. But we who are Christians, we follow that wisdom of the Lord. And of course, we also follow the architect of all things. We see the wisdom of God all around us in the world in which we live. Recently, we're just talking about pomegranates. Pomegranates are just packed with little seeds. And if you cut them open, you will see how they are so neatly packed and organized, layer upon layer upon layer, and they just burst out of that flesh, and they are amazing. And there is the wisdom of God right down to those very little details. Now, that wisdom is in creation all around us. Then we see God's wisdom in redemption. And to enter that plan of infinite wisdom is safe. If you're a Christian tonight, you have renounced your own thinking, your own wisdom, and you have run to the Savior who has perfected salvation and redemption for you. Now, the second attribute in the name of the Lord is His power. Wisdom, power. And yes, you receive spiritual power from the Lord to live for God when you put your trust in the Lord. You don't get that power until you run into the tower, until you make your refuge in the Lord Jesus. Turn over with me to 2 Peter and chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now you might feel weak. You might feel defeated. You might feel that you have no ability to go on. But here is the grace of the Lord to His people. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There's nothing left out. There's no blank spot. And every situation, every need is covered through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And so when you run as to the Lord, as to this tower of refuge, you find and experience power, spiritual power, grace, and strength is to be found. And of course, we are made partakers of the divine nature. That means that there is His life dwelling, living, working within our hearts. And it's life that cannot be kept down. It's like a fire that keeps resurfacing and rekindling. It will not be put out because you're a partaker of the divine nature. This is the Spirit of Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within. And when we run to the Lord, we discover that we are given this power. The righteous run to this tower. We make it our delight and our joy to go to the Lord. But if you're not living in the presence of the Lord, if you're not running to the tower, if you're outside and trying to find your own way of safety and your own way of strength, then you will not be given the power that is promised right here. And I fear that there are many professing Christians that do not run to the tower in times of need. You might say to me tonight, well, preacher, how would you make that assessment? Because there are many Christians that are not praying, and not praying as they should. They just work their way and struggle their way through life. They are not men and women of prayer. The righteous runneth into the tower, makes full use of the grace and the help that is to be found in that tower. And of course, the Bible tells us we have not because we ask not. And in our need and in our weakness, we must go to the Lord and plead with Him. That's why we pray. That's why as a church we gather to pray. that we may call on the Lord to be our strong tower. And that becomes the survival of the church and the survival of God's people in the midst of the world. Now, I must keep moving on here. Number three is holiness, wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and truth. And the Lord says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, see how each person who would ever enter heaven must attain perfect holiness. Every one of us must have a perfect righteousness. And you must have a record of personal purity that is equal to God Himself. Now, our proverb aptly points out that there is nowhere else to go to find a righteousness that will meet the standard of God's holiness. God tells us to produce holiness. But the wonderful thing, the good news of the gospel is that He provides it in His Son and in the whole scheme of the gospel. And He gave His Son as the righteous worker to provide that perfect righteousness for us. And you're familiar, I'm sure, with Isaiah's claim that all our righteousnesses are as unclean rags, filthy, unsuitable. Where are you going to go to have this clean, holy righteousness before God? There is a tower, a person whom God has given us, and we must run to Him. No excuses, no self-justification. We must run directly into the tower who is the Lord Himself. And of course, we have the cleansing power of His precious blood that cleanses us and washes us from all iniquity and from all sin. And so you need that righteousness to be holy in the sight of God. Run to Him. Don't hesitate even for a moment. Now, the next point is the Lord's justice. And let me major again on the fact that to the believer, the justice of God speaks of peace and safety. I know that the law cannot save, and we do not rest on the law to bring us peace with God. But when Christ settles the account, when His work is done on our behalf, then the law demands that payment cannot twice be made in our place. And so to those who run to Christ as their strong tower to be saved, when we are justified by the Lord, the law has no more claim. The law has no more condemnation. We are declared righteous in His sight. That's the freedom, the peace, the pardon that the believer in the Lord Jesus enjoys. Our conscience is free, and peace is given to us. Romans 5:1 is a great text on this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is the tower. There is the Savior that you need and the safety that you will find in Him. Your conscience is free. The judgment day will not be a terror because the law cannot payment twice demand. If we are justified at the cross, if we are cleansed by the blood, then we can never be condemned or required to make payment again. and we will be among those who are blessed that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The future is settled, and sins that were paid for by our Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago at the cross, canceled by his blood, will never appear again. And should this world tarry for another 1,000 years, the blood of Christ will still bring peace to those that run to Christ for cleansing. And so tonight we have a strong tower that we can run to, even as we think of the justice of God. God's justice will never change, but he is satisfied through the work of the Lord Jesus. That brings us number 5 tonight, and I'm moving along really quickly here, that you are saved by trusting in the Lord's goodness, in his goodness, because that's one of the characteristics or attributes of the Lord. While God is holy, we've learned that, God is just, he can never lower the standard of righteousness, yet he is good, and he desires all to be saved. God has no plan to send men to hell. He is yearning for men to turn and to be saved. And your readiness of heart opens up all the goodness of God to your very soul. And just as Joseph, when God providentially put him in the place that he was the prime minister of the land, all the food resources were in Joseph, and through him all were provided for. Is there want in your soul? Go to Joseph, go to Christ. Is there emptiness in your heart? He will fill it. Is there loneliness? He'll befriend you. Is there barrenness, fruitlessness? The Lord can make you fruitful. He brought Israel out of a wilderness into a land of milk and honey. And the Lord specializes in that work. And God wants the very best for his own children. But you need to claim your possessions that are in Christ Jesus. He tells us tonight to go up to possess the land. And he that has given us his Son will withhold no good thing. That's the apostle's argument in Romans 8, that if God has given you his Son, delivered him up for us all, how shall he withhold? He has given us already his everything. And so you are safe in him, and all the goodness of God comes into your Christian life, your daily walk, through grace, through faith, through being rightly related to the Lord Jesus. And God has no desire to keep you or to keep his people out of glory, but rather his plan is to bring you in and bring you through to the enjoyment of the Lord's blessing. So going back to Proverbs now, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and there you will find all the goodness of God, all the provisions of God, all the mercy of God to your own soul. In this old world, there are people going in all directions trying to find mercy and help and peace, and of course, they never find it. There's only one tower. There's only one Savior. There's only one place that you can go that you might find all of God's provision for your soul. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Do you count yourself safe tonight? This ties into the whole doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Once you're saved today, you're saved for eternity. The purposes and the plan of God cannot fail. The work of Christ at Calvary cannot fail. When you put your faith in Christ, and that means running into the tower, then you are safe, and you are the recipient of all the goodness of God that He can pour upon you. That brings us to the last attribute tonight, and that is to trust in the Lord's truth. Now, this name of the Lord, and that's what we read here in Proverbs 18, verse 10, this name of the Lord is synonymous with truth. He has staked His name or His reputation with every promise and every offer of the gospel. They are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And if a man should ask for salvation, seeking it through the death of the Lord Jesus, and be turned away, then God is no longer God. He is no longer a God of truth. Truth will have failed. But thankfully tonight, we serve the Lord who cannot lie. That's His nature. He is upright, strictly righteous. He cannot deviate to the right or the left from what is absolutely correct. And therefore, we have one who is a God of truth who cannot lie. He cannot deceive. We're told that the Lord tempteth no man. Now, it does mean He tests. We know that God tested Abram when he was asked to offer up his son Isaac. What a terrible test that was. And God was able to say at the end of it all, "Now I know that you love me." And God will test us. And there are situations He puts us in where He wants to prove our loyalty and our love to Him. But God will never deceive. He will never tempt. He will not mock. The Lord Jesus taught this in relation to prayer. When we ask for an egg, will He give us a scorpion? When we ask for bread, will He give us a stone? No, the Lord will not mock. And therefore, He will not disappoint. We need to revamp our thinking on this. As Christians, we have run into a strong tower. And the Lord will not fail us. He will not disappoint us. He will put His own name on every promise that you bring to the throne room of God. Now, I'm going to tie this back into prayer, because the promises of God are only as powerful in your life as the way by which you plead them. If you read through the Bible, you say, "Oh, that's a great promise." You may even mark it and say, "That's a great statement. That's a great declaration God has made. And that is a very powerful oath or promise that He made." But you don't wing it home to God in prayer. If you don't spend time pleading that promise, well, then you're not running to the tower. You might be admiring the tower. You might say, "Boy, that's a strong building. No one's going to get in out of there." But if you don't run into it, then you are not safe. And of course, every promise needs to be claimed by running with it right into the tower. This Bible really is like one big promise. The whole book, God has put His own name on it. This book is His truth. From Genesis to Revelation, you have the revelation of God and God's character, His name. And that's what we read of here in this text. The name of the Lord. God's name is stamped on this book. This is God's book. It is His inerrant and infallible word. And He will back it up every time. And we have every assurance of safety when we run to the Lord. Now, the question is, are we going to take God at His word? Are we going to live the Christian life just admiring? Or are we going to run into the tower and find our safety and our strength in the very presence, in the name of the Lord? That becomes the question as we wrap up here tonight. To those who need to be saved, we would say, do you really want to be saved? Do you really want to be a Christian? Then run into the tower. Don't stop 1 yard away from it. Get inside. Make sure you're safe. To the Christian who wants to live in the power of the Lord and enjoying the promises of the Lord, we also need to run right into that tower. Now, is that the desire of your heart? Then God is leading you. He's dealing with you. And He's calling you to run into the tower and find His safety. And if you hear His voice, don't ignore it. Run. Hide. Take safety in the very presence of the Lord. That's what a Christian must do. And especially in these days of opposition, and I wouldn't call it violent persecution, but of sarcastic, bitter, negative opposition. Christians are feeling it. The Church of Christ is feeling it. And the answer that we need to discover is that our hope, our confidence, is in the name of the Lord. And we need to run and live in very close fellowship with Him. And the Church of the Lord Jesus needs to rally to the prayer meetings, to the various ministry meetings of the church, that we might be strong in the Lord. Now, I can't turn this metaphor now that the church is the tower. But when you're feeding on Christ, when you're feeding on the Savior, looking to Him, then you're in the tower. And if in the church of Christ that is where you find it, then you might say that this is the door to the tower. This is the entranceway. And if we don't use those means, then we will be at a distance.